WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This weekend, CBS is broadcasting the World Series. To counter-program against that, the other two networks are reaching into their pasts. ABC begins a four-hour miniseries version of Dynasty. NBC presents a telemovie with the self-explanatory title, I Still Dream of Jeannie. TV critic David Bianculli is here with some thoughts on these productions and the other big TV production of the past few days.
I was going to spend this entire time talking about those two shows, but I can't. In the first place, ABC didn't provide Dynasty for preview, so the only thing I've got to judge it by, other than its slick and silly reputation, is an on-air promo in which Joan Collins delivers this memorable performance.
Your days are numbered, bimbo.
Gee, I can't wait. But actually, I can. In fact, I wish more networks would withhold bad shows from review. It'd sure make my life a lot easier. Oh, please, Brer Network. And though I have seen I Still Dream of Jeannie, I wish I hadn't. Having Barbara Eden play this subservient Jeannie again, along with her scheming sister, is kind of creepy. Larry Hagman walked away from this show a long time ago, but Eden won't. And though she's aged well, the show's concept hasn't. The lack of a laugh track in this case only points out how few laughs there are. None, to be precise. And the plot of this story, explained to Jeannie by a powerful djinn, is stupid even by I Dream of Jeannie standards.
I may stay?
You know better than that, my child. The scroll says you must have a master to remain in the plane of reality. I hereby grant you additional time so you may find a temporary master. You will be his genie until your real master returns.
What I like most about that is the suggestion that I Dream of Jeannie has a plane of reality. I don't have a genie, but if I did, I'd wish reunion shows like this would go back in their bottle. To me, what's worth talking about this week is the plane of reality. The fallout from the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings. The hearings themselves were astounding, but the aftermath has been pretty amazing, too. People inside and outside the process are talking now about making reforms, seeking solutions, and mending fences. But a close look at TV the last few days suggests that may be impossible. On the day of the Senate vote, Orrin Hatch, the exorcist-waving Republican from Utah, said this about charges that the White House had helped manipulate events during the hearings.
Fact of the matter is, anybody believes that, I know a bridge up in Massachusetts that I'll be happy to sell to them with the help of Senator Kennedy.
Within the hour, Hatch hurried back to the microphone to say he was mortified by his mix-up and asked for, quote, unanimous consent that the word Massachusetts be deleted and the word Brooklyn be substituted therefore as originally intended, unquote. Yeah, right. And if anyone believes that, I know a little tabernacle in Utah. The point is, even though the congressional record now shows no record of that cheap shot, the electronic record does. Anyone who watched the speeches live or watched Nightline that night knows it happened. Television has become the new congressional record, and in the long run, that's a good thing. In the short run, TV is also good at showing just how raw and sensitive an issue this is. Last night on Nightline, Ted Koppel presided over a 2.5-hour town meeting devoted to examining the process and seeking possible solutions. Instead, it underlined the dissatisfaction of many people not only with the process, but with the politicians. Here's an exchange between management consultant Clifford Alexander, a black audience member, and Alan Simpson, a Republican senator from Wyoming.
Perhaps somebody ought to speak to you the way you talk to them.
Wait
a second.
Let me
tell you something for a change.
All right.
Let me tell you, had Anita Hill decided to file a complaint, she didn't have a job to get back, so she wouldn't have gotten
that. That is not true, Senator. That's in the record.
Let me finish, if you don't mind.
Yes, but you've had two shots, and I've been listening quite courteously.
I'm getting,
well,
you've had 100, sir, and you'll have 100 more, because after this show, there are no black people in the Senate, so don't worry about us. We're through
after
this.
Well, that brings another racist aspect to it.
Yes, another racist aspect.
That's right. That's what it does. That's right.
As you described it.
That's right.
As you described it, Senator.
That's right.
Now, if we can...
Koppel's program was wonderful in the sense that people talked about all sorts of important issues. It was sad, though, because anyone watching could see that while a lot of people were talking, almost no one was listening.
David Bianculli is TV critic for the New York Post.